Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The Good News in Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
2 Samuel has the story that deals with the life and times of David, King David. And in this particular story, David is over 70 years old. Old to some of you, young to some of us. He's 70-plus years old now, and he's getting older. And he's still learning a great lesson that he's learned all his life since he was a teenager when he first took out Goliath back when he was a young teenager. And he learned a lesson back then, and he still learned it all through his life, that without Christ he could do nothing. He learned that he could do nothing without the Lord to help him, to be his strength, to be his strong armor. David had often led his men into battle. There are many battles during this period of history in Israel. And David had often led his men into battle. And he watched as the Lord brought them victory after victory. But so often we read in the book of Samuel that David went and inquired of the Lord, then he went down to battle, then he inquired of the Lord, then he went out to meet a certain nation that was against them, and he would always go to God. He would always go to God first. He always petitioned the Lord before the battle because he knew that the battle was the Lord's. And he learned that. And as we all learn that, through failure. There's times of failure. And then we realize we should have went to God first. And we figure it out in the school of hard knocks that we need to petition God, go to God, pray to God. Prayer always needs to be bathed. And things need to be bathed in prayer if God is in them. Because he waits to be invited. He loves to be invited. So in 2 Samuel 21, verse 15, the Philistines were at war again with Israel. Philistines, same people that Goliath came from many years before. Once again, they're at war with Israel, and David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, but David grew very faint. So here in verse 15, throughout his life, God taught him that he was weak and that he needed to call upon the Lord. And yet in this particular case, we don't find that David petitioned the Lord about anything. We find that the Philistines were warring against Israel, and David said, okay, men, let's go down and fight them. And there was no preparation of the heart, no preparation in prayer before the battle took place. And David, as we said, is an older man now. He's not what he was when he was in his 30s and 40s. Few of us are. And he went down to fight against the Philistines, but then the Bible says he grew very weak in the battle. He grew very weak. He wasn't doing well in the battle. He was losing his strength. His arms were getting very heavy. And he was slowly losing the battle that he was fighting. In Psalm 102, verse 23, David said this, that God had weakened his strength in the way. He weakened my strength. Whatever strength I had, God weakened it. He made me weak. Whatever little strength I might have had, he made me weak. And he shortened my days. David needed to be reminded often that even though he might have had a little bit of strength, his strength was never adequate to deal with the things that God put before him. The believer learns that. They learn that however strong you might think you are, you're never strong enough to defeat sin in your life, our addictions, our attitude problems, and all of that other stuff that comes on us. We discover how weak we are. We think we're strong, but then we're dealing with trying to forgive somebody, and we can't do it. I say, I forgive, and then they walk in the room, and it's, ooh, you know, it's just, I didn't do it. I said I was going to do it. I wanted to do it. I tried to do it, but I couldn't do it. I turned over more new leaves than you could possibly imagine, but it never worked. And God weakened me in the way. He wants me to be absolutely convinced that I am so weak I cannot do a thing without him. And he even allows the unsaved, the unbeliever, to mock us and say, "You Christians, you use God as a crutch. You're so weak, that's why you turn to God." And that's true, but they say it mockingly, but that is very true. You say, "Well, thank you for saying that. That's absolutely correct. Thank you. I am very weak. Extremely weak. And whatever it is that's before me, whatever it is that I am to live up to, I cannot do it. To live the Christian way of life is impossible for me. I'm way too weak for that. I can do nothing without him." And so David needed to be reminded constantly. Even now he's in his 70s, he still needs to be reminded that if you go out to battle, you go out thinking that you can defeat something. In this case, it's a somebody. But you go out thinking you're stronger than this thing. Well, I'm here to show you that you're very, very weak. So David grew weak. He grew faint. He was about ready to collapse. And if he collapsed, of course, while his enemy is standing before him swinging a sword, that collapse will be permanent. He'll be killed on the battlefield. Now, David wasn't the only fellow in the Bible that learned these truths. There were many men of God and women of God who learned that their self-sufficiency was not enough. That to be self-sufficient, to be self-confident about these kinds of things, and it's not bad to have a little self-confidence when you're dealing in secular society and so forth, if you're a salesman or whatever, to be able to be self-confident that you're going to make sales today and so forth, but to have God's confidence is better. Jacob, in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob was very self-sufficient. Jacob always schemed and wormed his way to get his own way every time. Jacob was a little conniver, and he would always find a way to make it happen for him. And God had to break him of that. And it happened in Genesis 32 when God touched the thigh and put it out of joint, and Jacob had to limp the rest of his life. He was hobbled the rest of his life as a reminder that he was not strong enough to do the things God called him to do. He needed God. He desperately needed God. So Jacob learned his lesson. Samson, remember Samson, great, mighty, strong man of the Old Testament, Judges, chapter 6, 16, could defeat 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey, and he could do all kinds of amazing things. But he had the wrong confession. When he finally confessed the source of his strength, he said, "You know, my source of strength is my commitment to God," which had to do with the Nazarite vow and the length of his hair. He said, "That's my commitment to God, the length of my hair, the Nazarite vow," which is in the Old Testament. When a man set himself apart unto God, he took a Nazarite vow. He didn't cut his hair. And he said, "That's my strength. I have an amazing commitment to God. That's my strength. And if my commitment to God is my strength, I'm in trouble." Because that becomes the target area for the devil. Said, "Oh, so you're committed to God. You made a commitment. Well, let's just see how good that commitment is." And then all kinds of attacks comes against the commitment. In Samson's case, the devil went for his greatest weakness, which just happened to be the opposite sex. And that was his confession. That's my strength. Now, had Samson simply said, you know, my strength is God, who can touch that? How can the devil attack that? How can the devil do anything about that? My strength is God. We say that as believers today. What is your strength? How do you know you're going to heaven? Oh, because God sent his son Jesus to die for me. You take it up with God. If you don't think I belong in heaven, you don't think I should go, or you don't think I should be a pastor. I don't act like a pastor. You laugh too much. You tell too many jokes. You don't act like a pastor. Well, if you don't think so, take it up with God. It's not my commitment to him that makes me a pastor. It's his calling on my life. He did it. Why are you saved? Because God did it. Why are we anything in this life? Because God did it. And who can attack that? The devil can attack that? Go ahead. Attack God. See how far you get. See, our strength is in what he's done for us, not for what we do for him, or our commitment to him, or our promises to him. Those things, if that's my strength, I'm in trouble because my promises will be easily broken when I get attacked. When I get attacked. Remember Job, when God said to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said to God, yeah, if you take your hand off him, he'll curse you because I'll attack him. And you'll see his commitment is no good. But God was assured that Job would come through because Job's strength wasn't in himself. Because we're told in the book of Job that Job esteemed the word of God above his necessary food. He loved the word. His strength was in the Lord. And it wasn't in what Job could do. It was in what God did in Job. So God says, go ahead, attack him. You won't get anywhere. I mean, you'll make him poor, and you'll make him sickly, and you'll do all these things, but he won't turn on me. Because there's an investment in his life that comes from me. It's not his commitment to me. It's my commitment to him. It's God's commitment to us. And so Samson, Job, Jacob, Paul the Apostle, same thing. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, in order for God to protect me from myself so that I don't get an ego trip because of the amount of information God has given me, I could very easily be the smartest guy in Christianity. He probably was at that time. Probably be the smartest guy in Christianity. Nobody knows more theology than Paul. He said, in order to protect me from getting that, letting my ego take me on an ego trip, he gave me a thorn in the flesh. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, God, get this, I don't want this thorn. I mean, how come I have a thorn? I'm the guy that has actually raised somebody from the dead.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Oak Leaf Golf Course is Okeechobee County's premier championship golf course, located just 8 miles north of Okeechobee City on U.S. Highway 441.